This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 10th of July 2022. In News West this week we focus on contesting, with news of contests coming up, with reports from Alan VK4SN on next weekend's Trans-Tasman contest, and introducing this year's Alara contest is Maria VK5MAZ. We also discuss next month's Remembrance Day contest, talk about some of the information that logs can be configured to carry, and there's a discussion on band plans, and we round off with Roy's amateur radio helpline, and there's also more interesting bits. The team this week is Roy VK6XV, Andrew VK6AS, Mike VK6KMS, and I'm Bob VK6PRP, the News West producer. News West can be heard on air, online, and on demand. Visit our website vk6.net to explore your options.
Hi, this is Alan, VK4 Sierra November. The Trans-Tasman contest is almost upon us. On Saturday night, the 16th of July, the contest kicks off at 0800 Zulu and ends at 1400 Zulu. That's 6pm to midnight Australian Eastern Standard Time. Amateurs in VK and ZL will endeavour to contact other amateurs in VK and ZL on 160, 80 and 40 metres using SSB, CW and RTTY or PSK. The contest is made up of three individual 2-hour blocks where you can rework stations again in the new block. Categories include single op high power, single operator low power and single operator QRP, multi-operator one transmitter and multi-operator multi-transmitters. What does QRP, low and high power mean? Well, QRP is up to 5 watts, low power is 5 to 100 watts, and high power is 100 to 400 watts. Logs are due by 7 days after the contest and can be submitted via vklogchecker.com in Cabrillo 3 format. Thanks to Jeff, Zulu Lima 3 Golf Alpha, for promoting the contest for our ZL neighbours. You can see the WIA website for all the rules. 73s, this is Alan, VK4, Sierra November.
Thanks, Alan. The Trans-Tasman contest is made up of three individual 2-hour blocks, as Alan told you, and you're able to work another station once per band and mode in every block. And there's something else you can do in every block. This contest also uses multipliers in the scoring, so every different prefix used by VK or ZL stations is a valid multiplier, and credit can be claimed once per band per block for each multiplier. Using prefix-based multipliers serves towards making it more desirable to work a range of distant stations rather than to work closer, stronger stations, as some are wont to do in the Aussie contests. More people than I have commented about the large concentration of amateurs in the southeast of Australia, and they can't help it, that's where they live, who can get through an Aussie contest without having to work stations more than around 1,000 kilometres away. The call sign prefix multipliers address this by making it desirable, even necessary, to seek more call sign prefixes in order to gain a competitive score. This contest is more palatable to those of us who don't have the stamina to work 24-hour contests. It only runs for 6 hours. It's gentlemen's hours, really. The start time is at 0800 UTC and it finishes at 1400 UTC, all on the same day. For us here in the West, 0800 UTC is 1600 hours, 4pm Western Standard Time, and we can only hope that 40 metres is still delivering or that 80 metres has opened up early. And with regards logging, you can still use VK Contest Logger that will still log this contest, and N1MM users can obtain the UDC, the configuration file, from vk4sn.com, vk4sierranovember.com, and you can also use the new Aussie logger developed by VK4ADC, VK4 Alpha Delta Charlie. It's called YACL, yet another contest logger, and we discuss that logger later in the program, but for now, let's hear from Maria VK5, Mike Alpha Zulu, who's going to introduce this year's Alara contest to us.
Hi, this is Maria VK5, Mike Alpha Zulu, contest manager for Alara. The 42nd Alara contest will be held on the last weekend of August, from Saturday the 27th to Sunday the 28th. Starting time is 0600 UTC, finishing 24 hours later at 0559 UTC. The Ilara contest is a lot of fun and open to all YLs and OMs. Although we are slightly competitive, we do help each other by giving out numbers and spotting each other on Facebook. Some of the girls even practice CW together in the months before the contest. We look forward to chatting with those we don't usually meet on air. All YLs and OMs are invited to take part, and it is hoped that YLs in particular will enjoy this friendly contest. It is not necessarily about making the highest score, but to enjoy a chat with those that we don't usually meet on air. We would also love to hear some young and new YLs joining in this year, as well as scouts and girl guides. Some of the committee will be handing out numbers on HF and Echo Link during the contest. The contest rules have now been uploaded to the Ilara contest page. For those who don't have Facebook and would like a copy of the rules, please email ilaracontest@wia.org.au. 73 for now, Maria, VK5, MAZ.
The Remembrance Day contest commemorates the amateurs who died during World War II and is designed to encourage friendly participation and help improve the operating skills of participants. It is held on the weekend closest to the 15th of August, the date on which hostilities ceased in the Southwest Pacific area. This year, it's on the 13th and 14th of August. The RD contest opening at 0300 UTC is preceded by a short address by a guest speaker transmitted on various WIA frequencies during the 15 minutes prior to the contest. During this ceremony, a roll call of amateurs who paid the supreme sacrifice during World War II is read. The broadcast in Western Australia will be on the linked repeater network and on HF. Probably 40 metres, 7.088 megahertz, and maybe 20 metres, 14.130 megahertz. You're asked to maintain radio silence on the broadcast frequencies for the 15 minutes prior to the broadcast. Counting on my fingers, that would be from 0230 UTC. This contest has several categories of single and multi-operator stations, and you should read the contest rules to determine which category you'll enter. There's also the teams concept. You can make up a team of three operators. Each one operates their own contest station, and if good enough to win or gain a place in the contest, and the team's joint results are put together to determine a team score. An interesting facet of the RD contest is the competition between the states, and a perpetual trophy is held by the WIA at its national office and is inscribed annually with the name of the winning state or territory. The rules of this contest are on the WIA website. That's wia.org.au, and you should look at the rules to determine which category you should enter. This competition between states is usually won by the less populous states, and the formula used to choose the winning state or territory goes something like this. The state score, that is, total points from logs submitted, divided by the number of licensees in the state or territory, excluding beacons and repeaters, as published in the WIA call book for that year. Seeing as how the yearbook has gone the way of the dodo, this bit needs rewriting. Maybe they will query the ACMA's register of radio communications licenses and work it out from there. The bottom line is that for a state to win, they need a lot of their amateurs to not only enter the contest, but to submit a log and accumulate the state's points. You can still use VK Contest Logger for this contest. Those who use N1MM for logging can download the UDC files from vk4sn.com.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
In our recent contesting survey, a couple of respondents expressed a desire for foundation license categories or subsections to be reintroduced to Australian contests. These were introduced some years ago to encourage foundation licensees to have a go. Last year, when call signs were deregulated by the ACMA, foundation licensees were no longer being issued with the four-letter F suffix and instead were issued with any available three-character suffix. The upshot of this was that the managers of contests that had a section or category for foundation licensees discontinued it, giving the reason that it was no longer possible to distinguish foundation licensees from others based on their call sign. Well, that's true. However, there's another way to do this. Most contests these days have moved or are planning to move towards requiring logs to be in Cabrillo format. Cabrillo logs enable universal log checking software to be used to read, compare, and calculate scores to determine winners in each category of the contest. This is achieved by the use of a range of standard tags, by means of which the software parsing the log can read and use the information following each tag. The most obvious tags are contest, which is followed by the name of the contest the log is for, call sign, which is the call sign of the contest station, and operators, listing the call signs of the operators if it's a multi-operator station. Now comes the interesting bit. There's a whole stack of category options to describe bands, modes, power levels, how many rigs, operators, and so forth. There are lots of categories and subcategories in contests, and these are covered in the multiple variations of the category tag. Just when you think every possible category has been covered, along comes category-overlay, which can hold values such as novice, youth, over 50, etc. That would be the perfect spot to put in foundation, or standard, or advanced, or Rastafarian, whatever. So the problem's solved, so how do we fix it? Well, we need to tell the contest managers, I guess. They rely on feedback to make decisions about contest rules. You know about the squeaky wheel story, don't you? Start squeaking.
Something that newcomers to amateur radio have a bit of trouble with is getting their heads around band plans. So, what is a band plan? A band plan is an agreement that divides the RF spectrum into different bands or segments for different uses. Internationally, the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, is responsible for allocating bands for each service, such as fixed, mobile, broadcasting, or amateur. Most countries follow the ITU frequency allocations very closely, but yet again, each country also has the right to vary its frequency allocations to suit local conditions. In Australia, spectrum management is the responsibility of the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the ACMA, our regulator. It determines frequency allocations for all transmitting stations in Australia and its territories. Band planning within the amateur bands follows the same pattern as international and national band planning. To make the best use of the available spectrum, our bands are divided into segments that are used for different purposes. Amateur radio involves using a wide range of transmitting modes for an equally wide range of purposes. The band plans allocate portions of the band to various activities, and there's a couple of reasons for this. The most obvious is to make it easier to find other people using the same part of the band for the same purpose. A couple of quick examples are the single frequencies marked for modes such as slow scan TV, FT modes, PSK, etc. By allocating a small piece of the band to these modes, it's possible for a lot of people to pursue their activity in the company of like-minded amateurs without having to go hunting around the bands, making all sorts of beeping and squeaky noises. Likewise, if someone looking for a phone contact starts calling CQ on one of those bits of band allocated to the digital modes, they'll have little luck, because most people know it's fruitless calling CQ in voice on those frequencies. But there are some. A thing about the band plans is that they are not law. Lima Alpha Whiskey, law. You don't break any law by transmitting in the wrong bit of the band, because our licenses are non-assigned, meaning they aren't nailed down to a particular frequency. Unlike, for example, commercial licenses. But hang on a bit, because some amateur radio licenses are assigned. Beacons and repeaters are assigned frequencies, so that Lima Alpha Whiskey, the law, would apply to those if you were to transmit there without authority. I'm pretty sure that's true. Feel free to tell us why we're wrong if you know different. The bottom line with band plans is they put a modicum of order into our playground. We can't have the swings colliding with the seesaw or the monkey bars obstructing the slide. So it is with our radio activities in our bands. If we all play to the rules of our playground, we'll all be happy because there's room for everyone to pursue their amateur radio hobby. There's a comprehensive description and data about the band plans at the WIA website, wia.org.au. Some of the text for this item was extracted from that website.
In our last contesting edition of News West, we told you that there's a new Australian contest logger, which will eventually replace VK Contest Logger, VKCL, which is no longer being developed due to the death of its author, Mike VK3AVV, in January this year. The VK Contest Logger still works and will continue to be suitable for Aussie contests until rules start changing, as the contest rules in VKCL were hard-coded into the application's code. This new logger is called YACL, yet another contest logger. It's loosely based on the VK contest logger in that it looks similar and its basic operation for the user is very similar to VK contest logger with some refinements. One major change is the use of configuration files for each contest so that contest rule changes don't require a new version of the app. All of the above was a long-winded way of getting around to reminding you that last month I asked if anyone had or would use yet another contest logger and provide a story about the experience. Now, if I earned $10,000 for every response I received, I'd still be living in poverty. So how about it? Surely someone's given it a go, or is willing to give it a go. Look it up at VK4AdC.com, VK4AdC.com, and check out his software section. That's at VK4AdC.com. Next Saturday, the 16th of July, on the same day as the Trans-Tasman Contest, is the Jakarta DX Single Sideband Contest on 40 metres. If you're interested, look up Jakarta DX Contest and you'll find it. Here's one for the FT8 enthusiasts. The Batavia FT8 Contest is on the weekend 7th and 8th of August, commencing at 0100 hours UTC on Saturday, and it runs for 24 hours. And the aim of the contest is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs and Indonesian contesters as possible. The bands used are 80 metres, 40 metres, 20 metres, 15 metres and 10 metres, and the mode is FT8 only. The contest exchange is the first four characters of your grid square location. Who said you can't exchange contest information on FT8? Probably people who have never used it. The final score is the result of the total QSO points multiplied by the sum of country and prefix multipliers. There's a few more rules and information about how to submit your logs. Visit the contest website, batavia-ft8.com. That's batavia-ft8.com. And there's more contests coming up. There's a contest almost every weekend of the year. Visit Alan's contest calendar to browse for more. Alan's website is vk4sn.com. That's vk4sierranovember.com.
Next week, News West will be showcasing a bit of amateur radio history. We do try to focus on West Australian history. However, it gets a bit sort of scarce after a while, and our reach extends to other parts of Australia. Our main sources of amateur radio history stories have been the historical amateur radio magazines Scanned by Will, VK6UU, and the National Library of Australia's Trove website, mostly old newspapers. Something becomes glaringly apparent when trawling through all these sources. What's apparent is that there are gaps. There were long periods, for instance, where VK6 notes in the amateur radio magazine were scant, and even simply non-existent. I'd hate to see our history lost. What are your memories of how things were in the past? Significant achievements, developments, etc. What stories do you have to contribute? We've had some excellent recollections from Mac, VK6MM, and would like to hear from more of you. It would be really good to put your recollections or your research discoveries to air. Just send what you find, either text or a recording, as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Yesterday, tickets were released on RaffleLink for the 2022 NCRG Hamfest raffle. So, what's on offer? First prize is an ICOM IC705, portable shack in a box, software-defined radio, 30 kHz to 470 MHz on receive, transmit on amateur bands 160 meters to 70 sems, with a power output of up to 10 watts. Second prize is an ICOM IC2730 mobile, dual band, simultaneous receive, large display, 50 watt transmit power. And finally, the third prize is a Comet GP9N, 8.5 dB gain on 2 meters and almost 12 dB on 70 sems. It comes in at a short 17 foot tall. This is a 5-star antenna. Tickets are available via RaffleLink. You'll find more details and links to ticketing in the recent post section of the website, ncrg.info, and also on the Northern Corridor Radio Group Facebook page. Don't forget, you've got to be in it to win it.
Now this from Ray VK6ZRW on behalf of the WA Repeater Group. Ray said, it seems like an eternity, however, the VK6RLM DMR repeater is back online with full connectivity to the Brandmeister network. After getting Hamnet to the site, we had to work with the Brandmeister teams both in VK and the US and then fix a fault with the repeater. Thanks must go to Matt VK6ML for all of his work. The output frequency of the repeater is 438.525 MHz with a minus 7 MHz offset for the input. If you missed that, go to the WAG website. TS1 is user access for whatever talk group you like. Just transmit on that talk group and it will connect and remain connected for 15 minutes. And after detecting no more local activity, it will disconnect. TS2 is statically mapped to TG505VK and TG5056VK6. And Ray said reports and feedback are welcome. Now, speaking of repeaters, the 2-meter repeater at VK6RTH, Tick Hill, went off air a week and a bit ago, and an expedition is being mounted tomorrow to find out what's happened and hopefully to fix it. Tick Hill is on the Darling Range escarpment in the Herne Hill, Red Hill area, and is a site that is fully controlled by the WA Repeater Group. Tick Hill is the name given to the site by the Repeater Group because of the presence of the little bloodsuckers in the area. The real name of the prominence on the escarpment is Mount Oakover. VK6RTH is a fully solar-powered site hosting 2-metre and 70-centimetre FM repeaters and an APRS digipeater. The repeater antenna is approximately 260 metres above sea level with a good outlook across the metropolitan area and to the north. Now, next week and the week after, both Andrew and Mike will be missing in action from the News West team. They both claim to have a letter from their respective mums to explain their absences, but I suspect a bit of collusion, but I can't prove it. But anyway, between them, they've recorded a couple of items for each week in order to save you from hearing me drone on for the entire program. See how it goes. I might ask a couple of people to chip in. Or, now listen to this, if you've been waiting in the wings, waiting for your big moment in amateur radio broadcasting but nobody asked you to join in and you're all bitter and twisted, well, your pain is over. Here's an opportunity to break into the wonderful world of amateur radio news. The pay's lousy, but the work is rewarding. Apply within to newswest at vk6.net. And speaking of recruiting people, there's another situation vacant, and this one's pretty non-threatening. It's a job that takes about 30 minutes a week if you sit there and watch the little whirligig go round on your screen, and about 10 minutes if you go make a coffee while you're waiting. I've experimented with putting News West up on YouTube. The VK5 crew have their news up on YouTube, and it's getting a large number of hits. Last week's News West is up there now. If you want to have a look, search YouTube for VK6 News West. The YouTube movie was compiled using a few still graphics and the News West MP3 using the Windows video editor. It was a very short learning curve, but I'm not going to add it to what I do every week, hence I'm putting it out there. So give me a shout if you'd like to take this on, if you want to be the Cecil B. DeMille of amateur radio news broadcasting in Western Australia. Here's your chance.
The main-up chapter of the Southern Electronics Group would like to invite hams and their wives, husbands, partners, significant others, or even interested friends to attend our inaugural field event on the 10th and 11th of September. Main-Up Ham Camption is an informal campout and radio getaway weekend where we can use and discuss practical projects for your radio and antenna in an open area with plenty of tall trees and great facilities. Food and beverages are all BYO, but if there is enough interest, we can bring orders of takeaway from town on the Saturday night. The grounds are large with plenty of space for your caravan, tent or swag, with some indoor shed room in case it gets a bit wet. If you choose to visit but would prefer a more civilised motel or bed and breakfast, there are many available from 10 to 30 minutes from Main Up. There is limited power available on the grounds, so self-contained power is preferred. There are toilets and showers, and camping will be $10 per person per night. The event is focused on the weekend, but campers are welcome to arrive on the Friday afternoon or evening, but if you are planning to do this, please let me know beforehand. The Main Up Sports Ground is located 15 kilometres south of Boyup Brook on the Boyup Brook Cranbrook Road next to the Main Up Hall. As this is the first time we have run this event, please be patient and feel free to suggest changes or additions. We would like to see it succeed and grow for next year. For further details and to register your interest, please contact me at Victor Kilo Sierra India X-Ray Echo Kilo, that's VK6EK, at gmail.com. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Next week, we'll start releasing details about the Perth Tech program, and hopefully we'll have the bookings open. Just to keep it fresh in your mind, Perth Tech is on the weekend, 21, 22 and 23 October, and it will go something like this. Friday night, campers and caravanners move in, and there'll be something organised to keep them busy, or entertained, or something. Saturday is the symposium of technical presentations. That'll be a big day. Saturday evening is a sundowner, with the bar open and light meal provided. Sunday morning we'll have some practical workshops at various venues yet to be announced. So set the weekend aside, 21, 22 and 23 of October, and check out the Perth Tech page at vk6.net. It's updated regularly.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy, VK6X, Ray Victor. This week's helpline for the 10th of July 2022. Looking for crystals. Remember those crystals? They used to be everything. And we're looking for two crystals at frequency 7.032 megahertz or 7.032 kilohertz if you prefer. Two crystals required at that frequency, 7.032 megahertz or 0.735 megahertz thereabouts. If you can help, please call Ron, VK6Kilo Hotel Zulu, VK6Kilo Hotel Zulu. Please call him on 08-9417-1699, 0417-1699, or email to Romeo Oscar November Bravo, figure 28, at hotmail.com. Romeo Oscar November Bravo, figure 28, at hotmail.com. Next, we have available valves, free. Those four valves, they're not free, they're free. And four valves available. We have three Mallard Holland valves, type Quebec 2061-20. Type number again is Quebec 2061-20 and one RCA 6146, not the 6146B. Made in USA, though, and from memory, these valves have been used but may still be working. No guarantee on their status, but if they're free to a good home or a good radio, if you would like to pick them up, pick up at Cannington area, mutual agreed time and date. Contact Graham Rogers, VK6RO, Rotten Oranges Man, VK6 Rotten Oranges at hotmail.com is his address. Victor Kilo 6, Romeo Oscar, if you prefer, at hotmail.com. Next item comes from Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. He has for sale a Yagi antenna. It's an Inno antenna, XR3, 6 element, 20 meter, 15 meter, 10 meter Yagi antenna, full size antenna, two full size interlaced elements on each of the 20, 15 and 10 meter band. The boom is made of 50 millimeter diameter square. It can't be a diameter if it's square, but anyway, the boom is made of 50 millimeter square aluminium tube with wall thickness of 2 millimeters and is therefore quite sturdy. Current cost of this XR3 is about 900 UK pounds. plus freight to Australia. Steve's letting this antenna go for a mere $750. Please contact him on 0408183742. Again, 0408183742, or you may email Steve at VK6VictorZulu. I'll spell Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo Figure 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Well, that appears to be all that I have for you for today. So if you would like to pick up on any of those, or give me a call or email if you have anything for next week, Victor Kilo 6 X-ray Victor at bigpond.com is the only address. Victor Kilo 6 X-ray Victor at bigpond.com. And that's now 7-3 from me. Until next week. Cheers for now.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to the broadcasters, callback collectors, and those who maintain repeaters and networks. Thanks to the studio team and the guest presenters, Uncle Tom Cobley and all. It takes a lot of people to go from thinking up a few words through to broadcasting and taking callbacks, and of course it would be totally pointless if nobody listened to it, so thanks listeners for joining us. And many of you have been doing that for more years than I've been involved. I'm hoping to hear and work lots of you in next weekend's Trans-Tasman contest. Meanwhile, it's time for you to get on air now and make some noise.